Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you about something that we all do, something that all of us are pretty intimately aware of and do on a hopefully daily basis, if not more than once a day. The title for my sermonette is A Deep Dive on the Meaning of Christ's Outline on Prayer. That's quite a mouthful for a title. When Christ introduced the prayer to the disciples, he told them, I am no longer going to be the one praying for you, but I'm going to teach you how to pray to the Father. Kind of shows that they most likely weren't praying then at that point. Very interesting thing to think about. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 to 13, Christ gives the disciples a model prayer because they needed to know a general outline of how to come to God, how to approach him, what they should be thinking about during the prayers. Obviously, we also read in the Bible that they weren't to pray by rote, meaning they, you know, they're not supposed to repeat something over and 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 over again. I don't know how many overs that was. But he gives them a general outline on prayer. And I wanted to really get into this a little bit because what does it mean? We all pray, right? But what does that, when we're praying, how does that integrate into our lives? Well, the model prayer goes like this. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we're going to just quickly break this down. And it's a sermonette, so it's going to be very quick. Now, you don't have to turn to these scriptures that I'm going to be giving you, because there's usually more than that. It's comfortable for a sermonette, and I'll apologize beforehand for that. But here we go. Our Father in heaven. We do have a Father that is in heaven, who has created all things, who sustains all things, who is always there day, night, when we're sleeping. It doesn't matter. He's always there. You know, if we keep this in mind at all times, it's like a blanket you can put around yourself. He's always there. There's never a point where he's not there. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6 tells us, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. God wants us as his sons and his daughters. He wants that relationship. Prayer, then, is, by extension, a relationship with God. We get to have a relationship with God because we can pray. And he is our Father. Hallowed be your name. Now, to hallow something means you set it up as holy. You set it apart as separate. You sanctify it. You know, when we are doing this properly, we are seeking God's holiness in our lives. If we are sinning in any way, we are not hallowing God's name. In John chapter 17, and beginning of verse 15, Christ is praying to the Father, and he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of this world. How nice would that be? But he says, that's not the point. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart. Make them holy. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sake I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. See, it's a circular relationship. Christ sanctifying himself, we sanctifying ourselves for God for the sake of being holy for God. Your kingdom come. It is for this very purpose that we are here keeping this Feast of Tabernacles. It's why we are called. And we are looking for God's kingdom to be established so that everyone on earth will have an opportunity to become a God being, truly enlarging his family. And that's what it's about a family of God beings. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, God's will is omnipotent, but it depends on how deeply we integrate his will for us into our lives. God will accomplish whatever he wants done. And we can either decide that we are going to be a part of that by asking him to guide and direct our paths, or we can choose to try and go about doing things on our own. And we choose this daily in our actions, in our choices, in our interactions with our church family and with the people of this world. Really, we need to be involving God in everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication to all the saints." Truly, God is telling us we need to involve him in everything that we do. Give us this, our daily bread. Obviously, without sustainment from God, we would be quickly reduced to nothing. The Day of Atonement gave us that opportunity to see that. One day without food and water, it's a hard thing to go through. But this simple admonishment teaches us that we need to come to God with a humble spirit of dependence, asking him to provide everything that we need on a daily basis so that we are being sustained from day to day. In Matthew 6:34, Christ tells us, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Enjoy and find peace in the day to day. And not that it's wrong to plan for the future, but we live in the present. We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We live right now, moment to moment. You know, if we are not living in the present, then we're missing out. We're missing out on life. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The amount of scriptures about talking about forgiveness could take up sermons of time. But the fact that Christ shows and mentions this here shows the power that forgiveness has for each other. You know, getting forgiveness from God means coming to him and truly being sorry and repentant and having a different attitude. And it's saying that we are to do the same thing for our brethren, our brothers, our sisters. In Psalm 103, verse 10, it says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins. We sang that this morning so far. Nor punish us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Quite the powerful words there from Christ. Forgive so that you may receive forgiveness. Trust me, we all want forgiveness from God. And do not lead us into temptation. A poor translation, as God never leads us as Christians into temptation. And we do that quite easily on our own, as James tells us. James 1 and verse 12, he says, Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and it is full grown, brings forth death. Each of us have our own mindsets, our own mental loops that we go through. Maybe we've learned them over years or picked them up wherever. We're human and we all have those types of things that we have to confront and deal with on a daily basis. But we can reach out to God, as it says here. We can ask Him to show us how to avoid these pitfalls, how to deal with all that is in a day and to overcome our own weaknesses and tendencies. And that's such a beautiful thing that Christ is showing us here. And then, continuing on, but deliver us from the evil one. Satan and his minions, our arch enemies, are everywhere. We are told time and again that they are spiritual forces that we can't see, that we are at war with. None of us have ever been to war physically, but it's a very brutal, hard thing to deal with. I can only imagine. And so from a human perspective, this can be quite scary. To think that we're at war with an enemy who we can't even see. And they are seeking our destruction. It says that Satan is constantly before God's throne day and night, bringing accusations against us. So Christ teaching us to pray here that we have to keep this in mind. We have to keep in mind that it is Christ who is there to fight our battles for us, because we need that spiritual help in order to have an even inkling of a chance to win. We have to include God. There is no other choice. In Exodus 14 and verse 13 and 14, we find this. And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand still. Don't take this up into your own hands. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That peace is ours if we pray to God for Him to fight our battles daily, multiple times a day, if need be. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We are seeking God's kingdom. We are told that we are going to become God beings. with tremendous power and the very glory that God has, we are going to have that same power, that same glory that he has, and it will last forever. The attributes that God and Christ have are going to become ours. They're going to be shared. It's hard to put into a human perspective that thought. It's hard to wrap your brain around that sometimes, thinking into eternity. But it's truly incredible. You know, without this purpose, this goal, being here as Christians would be fruitless, would be pointless. But this is what we are striving for. And it's only God's to give. It's his gift to give. It's in his power. It's in his hands. And so we really need to remember that God has to be the first in our lives, no matter what. You know, Christ's model prayer encapsulates everything that we should be thinking about from day to day in our Christian lives. You know, not that we have to pray that prayer every single time, but those ideas, those thoughts, everything that he's incorporating into there should be alive in our prayers. I think if we follow this model, this thought in our prayers, in our daily thoughts, I think it'll be very, very powerful for us.